Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest tonight is the queen of heavy metal. Lita Ford is synonymous with shredding guitars and hair metal, starting early in her life as a guitarist in the Runaways alongside Joan Jett. She became a solo artist and had commercial success in the 1980s, in part because of heavy rotation on MTV with songs like Kiss Me Deadly and Close My Eyes Forever, the duet with Ozzy Osbourne. Years later, Ford is still rocking. She just finished her memoir, Living Like a Runaway, which chronicles her life with sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Lita Ford will be signing books tomorrow night at North Central College in Naperville. But first, she's my guest tonight on The Download. Lita Ford, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. And this book is great. It's a great read for anyone who's a fan of the music and the times. I mean, this is, it's a tell-all, as evidenced by all of the pre-press for it. But, you know, what I wanted to talk to you about was obviously your role as a woman in heavy metal. But let's start with the Runaways, because not only were you a woman, you know, blazing a trail in this music, but you were also a teenager. I mean, you're so young when the Runaways were starting. Talk about the Runaways and what that band meant for you as you started out.
It was the beginning of my career. I took it very seriously, and I wanted to give it all I had. I wanted to make it count. I wanted to make everything I did count. And It was difficult, you know. We had a lot of fun, though. We were rebellious teenage troublemakers, and that's what Kim Fowley, who put the band together, wanted us to be. You know, he wanted us to be hellraisers, and we loved it, of course. Being a teenager, what else? You know, what else do teenagers want to do? I mean, some of them are like that, I guess, but most of them are. Wanting to put their fingers in places that they've never dipped and dabbled in before.
Reading the book, one of the interesting things is you did take this seriously, and you did come to blows with the bands a lot of the times when people were being more teenager-like or dabbling into more of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll part of it. This was a band. This was your future.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wanted to make a career out of it. I wanted to make it my life. I didn't want to just do the Runaways and then call it a day. So when the Runaways broke up, I went off and did a solo career, became a solo artist. I had to teach myself how to sing. Being in the Runaways, I only sang backing vocals, so I didn't really know how to sing a lead vocal until I started taking vocal lessons and I started to teach myself how to front a band. That was a lot of work.
Let me ask you, at what point did you say, you know, after the Runaways and you started to work on your voice, at what point did you realize, you know what, I've got this? You talk a lot in the book about evolving as a musician. At what point do you realize that, you know, I'm going to have not only a career, but a successful career, a trailblazing career?
I think it's something that happens on a regular daily basis. You know, every show seems to be better than the last. Right now, I've got some of the best musicians in Hollywood in my band. I'm really blessed with my band. To be able to stand on a stage with these guys that are in my band now, you have to be good, or they won't have it, you know? And they're wonderful people, too, not just great musicians.
You know, you've had so many different musicians around you, and you talk about it in the book, but what I also loved about it was that you're always the leader. In the way that you're like, I brought this player in, I brought this drummer in. I mean, the way you talk about it in the memoir is about how you're trying to make sure you have great musicians around you.
Yeah, I created a lot of these guys, you know, and I don't think they would be where they are today if I kind of plucked them out of the gutter, so to speak, and made them into great musicians. Not the guys that are in my band now, because they were already established before we met, but a lot of different musicians that I've pulled out of the street. You know, Randy Castillo was one. Randy went on to play with Ozzy. He went on to play with Motley Crue. And before that, he was my drummer.
Right.
Eric Singer was my drummer before he was with, I think he was with Alice for a while, Cooper. I mean, the list goes on. And, you know, I don't know that they will ever say that unless you actually bring it up and ask them.
Beyond the musicians, you had surrounded yourself with so many different producers and managers and A&R people, all the people around you creating Lita Ford. I really enjoyed the part of the book that focused on your parents, because your parents supported you from a very young age with the Runaways, and they were with you through your solo career, and they became your constant.
Yeah, they did. My parents were they gave me so much support and confidence to go out and divide and conquer, you know? They were my fans. They were my friends. They were my parents. I was an only child. I didn't have a brother or sister. So it was really nice to be close with them. Mm-hmm. But when they passed away, I felt almost like I was left alone, you know, not having a brother or sister. Which is why I had two boys, because I didn't want my sons to be alone in case anything happened.
And it's interesting, too, because it's Hollywood, you know, and you have all these producers and managers and bandmates that are made. The idea is that you're all family, but at the end of the day, you're not. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, there's so many different people that are going to do different things that you might not be able to trust, but your parents were there. And the other thing, too, is to watch their only child, their daughter, become, you know, the guitar player in the Runaways. I mean, it's not like they supported you through, yeah, you're going to be a theater artist. I mean, you went into heavy metal, a chauvinistic, dominated male field, and they supported you all the way through. A lot of parents probably wouldn't do that.
They got to know a lot of these rock stars, too. You know, my mother loved Alice Cooper. My dad was friends with Tony Iommi. You know, they knew each other. There's one part in the book where I talk about my mother meets David Bowie, and she doesn't know who he is.
Right. Just sitting on the couch.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It was just like a 10-minute, 20-minute, you know, sitting on the couch talking to David Bowie. They didn't have a fling or anything like
that. Right, right, right. There are plenty of flings in this book. You know, I mean, I think, you know, just reading any of the pre-press, the New York Post or anything like that, I mean, everyone likes to pull out the more salacious details of the book about flings with John Bon Jovi or Edward Van Halen, as you call him. But, you know, the interesting thing to me about this book was about the story you were telling about being a woman in a male-dominated field. Not only were you a female guitar player, but, I mean, you were the lead in your band. I mean, you were Lita Ford. The idea that, you know, you were shredding next to some of the best and dominating them on the stage. Yet sometimes in some situations, as you chronicled in one situation where a producer changed a record after you were done with it, you never got that respect because a lot of what was happening in metal, heavy metal at the time, was very male-dominated and chauvinistic.
It was, and they would find a reason to criticize. And had it have been a guy, that wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. So it just found ways to get around it, found ways to deal with it, and move on.
How did you deal with it? I mean, you were able to get past the trappings that we've all known about in rock and roll, with drugs and things like that. But how did you cope with the fact that you were up against it? I mean, this was just not only you didn't have the band, it was just Lita Ford. How did you cope with having to come up against all these guys that were just being so disrespectful to you?
Well, it wasn't like there was an army of them. I mean, you know, there was just certain situations where, like the guy that in the recording studio, I will forever hold it against him and forever rub it in his face, and I will put it in the book, and I will talk about it, and I will make him out to be the small little dirtbag that he is. And who does that?
Right.
That's disgusting. It's like, go do your friend's record if you want your friend
in
to
this
be
case,
on a record.
He added,
Don't
he
put
added,
him on mine.
Right, he added guitar part to your song after it was done and it was mastered. He went in,
yeah.
and you claim that, you know, that was if that was a guy, he would never have done that.
No, and they say things like, I wanted a different solo. Okay, well, why didn't you ask me, you know?
Right.
Don't just bring in your friend because you wanted him on the song. It's just wrong, so it happens. You live and learn. I will never leave the producer alone in the studio again unless I trust them 100%. And this guy was just not trustworthy.
Another big part of this book, you can read the book for all the stuff about the different stories, you know, behind closed doors with different rock musicians. But one thing that I got as a through line through this was another taboo subject, and that's money. you know, when you were working with the Runaways, I mean, there were some thoughts where you're like, when are we going to get paid? And even when, you know, you were talking about some of the stuff you were doing at solo, you know, there were times where a chapter would end and you'd be like, well, I needed to find a ride home or we were out of money. You know, a lot of people see you on MTV or they see any musician for that matter on MTV playing and you're like playing Coliseums and rock shows. You feel that person is set for life and they're, you know, a rock and roll lifestyle. But it's not necessarily true. Money doesn't grow on trees when it comes to rock and roll stars.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You really have to fight for it, you know, and you have to keep track of it and know where it goes and who's got it. And, you know, I ask to see paperwork for each show that we do. My managers now that I have are wonderful. They run everything through me. There's no shows that are booked unless I okay them. Everything is very transparent with my business managers. I know what's coming in. I see where everything goes and who's getting what and how much everybody's getting. So there's no secrets.
You know, when you look back on your career, and you're still rocking, but you look back on the 80s, one of the interesting things happened where in the early 90s, metal kind of fell off a cliff. Grunge replaced it, alternative rock kind of came on, and it was so sudden for a lot of bands who you know, weren't named Van Halen, that just sort of they lost the support from record companies, they lost play on MTV and other places, radio. Talk about that for you, because, you know, you tried to continue on, but the record companies and everybody else sort of lost their taste for heavy metal.
They did. I think it affected the record companies a lot, too. They weren't quite sure what direction they were going in. And the Van Halens had to go away for a little while because they didn't fit. I'm glad that decade is over. I'm not really a fan of that decade because I think there was a lot missing musically during that decade. I can feel the difference between an 80s artist and a 90s artist. There's things missing because it's when things started to turn digital and they weren't so much from your musical hands, your ability as a musician to be able to pick up a guitar and play something without a click track or play something that wasn't digitally recorded. You know, everything went from analog to digital. So I think that something got missed in the translation. If you don't fill it in somehow musically, then you do lose something there.
Lita Ford is the author of the memoir, Living Like a Runaway. Lita Ford, of course, the queen of heavy metal. She's going to be signing books at North Central College in Naperville tomorrow night. Lita Ford, thank you so much for taking some time out to talk to us tonight.
Of course. Thank you. No problem. We'll see you tomorrow.